Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. Republican lawmakers in Sacramento have proposed a package of bills addressing what they call loopholes in realignment, the massive shift of thousands of felons from state oversight to local control. It's unclear whether Republicans have the political muscle to move any of these measures, but as Michael Montgomery reports, there is a growing chorus of concerns over the way realignment is playing out in California.
Governor Brown has declared realignment a success and California's prison crisis over. But to his critics, the state has simply passed its problems to local governments. The package of bills sponsored by Assembly Republicans would return some responsibilities for offenders back to the state. Supervision of state parolees would be tightened, penalties for sex offenders would increase, and felons who remove GPS tracking devices would be sent to prison instead of jail. It's unclear whether any of those measures will garner support from Democrats who control the legislature. They have proposed separate bills to tighten provisions in the realignment law. The influx of felons to county jails is also triggering legal challenges. Advocacy groups have filed lawsuits in Riverside, Fresno, and Alameda counties, claiming poor conditions and inadequate medical care in local jails. The groups say the problems have worsened under realignment. State corrections officials said the bills would complicate efforts to comply with a court order to ease prison overcrowding. For the California Report, I'm Michael Montgomery.
One of California's most troubled local law enforcement departments is pulling in new blood at the management level from the state prison system. L.A. County Sheriff Lee Baca has hired Terry McDonald as his new county jail's chief. As an undersecretary at state prisons, McDonald helped oversee realignment and the training of prison guards. With the sheriff's department, she'll be managing the nation's largest jail system under the watchful eye of federal investigators. The FBI has spent the last year and a half looking into charges of systemic violence in L.A. jails by sheriff's deputies. Senator Dianne Feinstein's proposed assault weapons ban has been dumped from the gun control package on Capitol Hill. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid said he made the move out of fear it would sink the chances of the final bill's passage. Those set against the legislation argue instead for better enforcement of existing gun laws and stronger efforts to keep guns away from people with mental illnesses. California's Department of Managed Health Care has found Oakland-based Kaiser Permanente, which serves nearly 7 million people statewide, is failing to provide timely access to mental health care. The California Report's health reporter Mina Kim has more.
State regulators found insufficient staffing at some clinics across the state, with patients waiting longer than the legal limit of 10 days for appointments or being misled because of inaccurate information about Kaiser's mental health services. Regulators also found that at Northern California facilities, staff members were not accurately tracking and reporting how long patients had to wait to get initial appointments or follow-ups. Shelley Roulard, the department's chief deputy director, says the agency will be taking the unusual step of conducting a follow-up survey in 6 months rather than 18 months.
These are very significant deficiencies, and we're concerned that consumers aren't getting the care that they need when they need it, and particularly when they are, you know, in distress.
Kaiser workers, affiliated with the National Union of Healthcare Workers, are calling the report a vindication of concerns they laid out in 2011. Clement Papazian is a social worker with Kaiser Oakland and a chapter officer for the union that represents more than 2,000 clinicians and psychologists. Papazian says service delays have been hard on patients.
Some of them will drop out of care. Some of them will seek, medication only or the services that are available, group services.
But Kaiser Permanente officials say the problems occurred at a limited number of sites and did not affect the quality of mental health care. Mason Turner is assistant director of regional mental health for Kaiser Permanente Northern California. He says the agency has been working hard to correct problems since it received a draft of the report last August.
We have hired more staff, we have provided more appointments for our patients, and we're very committed to correcting these issues and making sure that we are providing the highest quality of care that we possibly can.
The Department of Managed Health Care's Enforcement Office is now evaluating options for penalties, including fines. For the California Report, I'm Mina Kim.
Healthcare providers and advocates for the elderly and the disabled have reached a deal with the Brown administration that staves off another round of budget cuts. The program, known as In-Home Supportive Services, pays for 350,000 people to provide care, cleaning, and other aid to 450,000 Californians who might otherwise have to live more expensively in nursing homes. As part of this new deal that resolves two lawsuits, there will be an 8% cut in service hours, but nothing more. According to the finance department, the settlement will allow the state to save $160 million in the next fiscal year, rather than the $180 million assumed in Brown's first budget proposal. Climate change is headline news for California's $30 billion farm economy. Scientists and policymakers are gathered today at UC Davis to talk about the latest trends and strategies to cope with them, as KQED science editor Craig Miller reports.
Already, growers in California have noted disturbing patterns, from heat stress on row crops to fewer so-called winter chilling hours, which cherries and other stone fruits need to produce healthy fruit. But many in the farming community have been latecomers to the climate discussion. Judith Redmond is co-owner of the organic Full Belly Farm northwest of Sacramento.
I think a lot of farmers are starting to recognize that the climate and the weather are becoming much more hostile to food production and to agriculture.
While the scope of this week's conference is global, this could be a pivotal year in California for what organizers are calling climate smart agriculture.
We have a lot to lose in California when it comes to our food security if we don't address climate change.
Jeannie Merrill is policy director with the California Climate and Agriculture Network, which advocates for sustainable farming practices.
We're dependent on weather. We're dependent on the availability of natural resources, especially water.
Water has been just one of many topics at ag gatherings recently. Another is how to protect farmland from encroaching development, even if some of that development is meant to be part of a climate change strategy.
At the same time, there's tremendous pressure to turn ag land into non-ag uses for large-scale solar, high-speed rail, other infrastructure projects. We can do this smartly, but we've got to figure out a way to protect our most prime agricultural land.
Also under discussion are ways to reduce the carbon footprint of farms and ranches. For instance, livestock operations are major producers of methane, a potent greenhouse gas. Advocates say research could be funded by revenues from the state's cap-and-trade program. Fees on industrial warming emissions could generate billions in the years to come. For the California Report, I'm Craig Miller.
That's the California Report for Wednesday, March 20th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the Mary Van Voorhees Fund and the Follis Family Fund for coverage of climate change. And Barracuda Networks, innovators of simple solutions to complex IT problems such as data storage, compression, and disaster recovery. Barracuda.com.